Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 13, the verses 1 through 13. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 13, the first 13 verses. And now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with a deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, as seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Thus far the reading of the Scriptures. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Corrine Liefting, who was in the Lethbridge Hospital. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Eternal and unchangeable, ever faithful, the great almighty Creator of the heavens and of all the earth, and thou who upholdest the same till this very moment, may it please thee to grant humble and broken hearts that for another week that thou wast spared the whole congregation, from the youngest to the oldest, wherever we were called to be. And then we are still living testimonies and monuments of thy goodness, of thy faithfulness, and of thy patient long suffering, where thou wast not dealt according to our sins. And Lord, surely they are great and manifold, and then we do well to pause and reflect upon them, thought, word, and deed, one by one, all recorded by thee, and they all require satisfaction. Ah, Lord, then how good thou art, where thou yet maketh a difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth, also on this Sabbath day, where there are many that do not have the liberties and the freedoms which thou so freely still granteth unto us, also to come up to thy courts, and many on account of sickness and other reasons, and then thou yet granteth unto us and our children a place under thy word and eternal testimony, And then we also commend unto thee those that could not come up to thy courts because of sickness, O Lord. Then we humbly ask thee that thou may graciously spread thy wings over them, and not a sickness unto death, but that it may be a sickness for thy glory, that thou may use it by thy Holy Spirit, that in their sickness they may be enabled to reflect on the one thing needful, and that it may be used that as poor sinners they may be given to cry unto thee with their sick sin souls, that they may be healed through the precious meritorial work of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thou knowest how that each has come up to thy house when it was only for man duty, that doth not stand thee in the way. They are under thy word. But, Lord, may there have also come young and old, and even in an outward way, with a desire to place themselves under the means of grace, with a prayer unto thee, the living God, that in this day that thou may pour out thy Pentecostal Spirit, and that it may be for the conversion of young and old. But, Lord, may there have also come up a people, and thou hast the people upon the earth, that know what it is to be thirsty and to hungry, with a desire to glean, and they learn that it all comes from above, that the thirst is a gift from heaven, but also that satisfaction, wilt thou not send them home empty to their homes, but may they be given to receive something from above. Wilt thou grant those further leadings concerning the mystery of salvation, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. Then we commend unto thee in a special way the young people, the students, that were unable to graduate in this past week. It was a special moment. It was an Ebenezer. And then we commend them unto thee as they continue life's journey for an unknown future. Wilt thou grant them a place at thy footstool? Wilt thou spread thy gracious wings over them? Do keep them under the old truth and the old ways, and above all things convert, as thou hast converted all thy people. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. We need to be enrolled on the school of King Jesus, where we shall never graduate, where we shall always remain a student. And it is written in thy word, they are poor in self, but they are rich in thee. And for their comfort it is so needful to be led into those divine mysteries I have left in the midst of thee, an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. O Lord, do then magnify thy great and worthy name in the midst of us and our dear children, that also in this day there may be added unto those jewels of the meritorial crown of King Jesus. And thou wast promised in thy word to work from generation to generation. Thou wast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. But, Lord, it is also written, a twofold effect. either for the hardening or for the humbling. Oh, thou wast promised where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May that richly be experienced on this Lord's Day as a fruit of the meritorial work of the risen Lord, thy dear Son who sits at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering, preserving, and defending his church. Ah, may there then be a large ingathering over the length and the breadth of the earth, among Jew and Gentile, where thy word may be proclaimed. And, ah, Lord, there are so many dark corners, and also our country that has departed so far from thy word. Oh, we live in solemn and serious times. Wilt thou impress upon all of our hearts that holy urgency, a hastening for our life's sake, to find a shelter under the wings of Emmanuel. Lord, remember all the temporal needs. We may acknowledge thee a Father who had surgery in this week, and then thou wast blessed the surgery where in the day of yesterday he was allowed and privileged to return to his dwelling. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant further healing and strengthening? Remember him together with his dear wife and children, and then thou hast and art speaking in such a special way. Oh, may it be by thy grace God has spoken once, and twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God, and unto him also belongeth mercy. Lord, we commend unto thee a mother who was admitted to the hospital. Ah, thou knowest the circumstances. 'Tis not the first time, but now for many years thou hast helped her out and helped her through, although it was up and down, but now by renewal too much for her mind. Lord, we humbly ask thee that the means may be blessed. Remember her together with her dear husband, their two children, and above all that the callings may be sanctified, that it may be used for the saving of souls. Remember all those that are under the physician's care. Special ways thou knowest the fears, the worries, the cares. Those that are undergoing treatments, may they be blessed. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones, the crosses, the burdens, and do remember, Lord, all the mourning ones in our midst. Ah, continue to strengthen, to comfort times when so overwhelmed, too much to continue, but wilt thou remember them in a special way, and do remember all the elderly ones. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy help. Ah, do open thy precious word, and may thy word go forth with power divine, go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. May our eyes be upon thee. May it be experienced, thy special presence and thy almighty power in the hearts of young and old, and that with a profound impression that it is sinned away. And, ah, Lord, thou not only requires the confession of the lips, but thou requires the heart. Ah, wilt thou then grant what thou requires? And wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart with eyes upon thee, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 258, the stanzas 1 through 5. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, as sing all the earth and bless His name. From day to day His praise record, the Lord's redeeming grace proclaim. And what follows, Psalter 258, the first 5 stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture which you can find in Acts 13, the verses 6 through 12, and we shall read the 12th verse. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Our text words speak of Paul and Barnabas preaching to Sergius Paulus with three thoughts. In the first place, Sergius Paulus, the desiring deputy. Secondly, Sergius Paulus, the withstood deputy. And in the third place, Sergius Paulus, the believing deputy. Paul and Barnabas preaching to Sergius Paulus. First, the desiring deputy. Secondly, the withstood deputy. And thirdly, the believing deputy. Beloved congregation, this chapter speaks of the beginning of the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And then our boys and girls, they know how that Saul was powerfully converted before the city of Damascus. And there the Lord has related by means of Ananias that he was called to be a preacher, especially to the Gentile world, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But before he was officially sent out, sent by the Holy Spirit, thrust out, that many years have transpired, the general thought is that Saul was converted approximately around the time 37 years after the birth of Christ, and his first missionary journey, 47 A.D., thus between his calling and his sending out, there lie approximately how many years exactly, we cannot tell, but it is possible 10 years, it is recorded. 3 years in Arabia, has spent a year at Antioch and other places. And now on account of persecution, then it is recorded in Acts 9 that the church was dispersed from Jerusalem. They had a desire to remain together, but dispersed to different areas, to Antioch, also to Cyprus. And so the gospel in the Lord's providence was spread to many other places. And now in Jerusalem, then it was heard that in Antioch there was a thriving congregation. And to that end, they have sent Barnabas to labor among that congregation. And the labors were manifold, they were becoming too many. And to that end, Barnabas, then he has went to Tarsus, and he has fetched Paul, that Paul would also labor in that congregation. And now in this chapter, then we have heard it, that there was a fasting and prayer, and that the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Then we also read that John Mark, with a desire to also labor, has also went along, although not separated, but he has returned home halfway through the first missionary journey. And then, boys and girls, when you come home, then you can look it up, or you can ask your father and mother to look it up for you, where the apostles have went on their first missionary journey, and also the places that are mentioned in the first 13 verses of Acts 13. Then they have left Antioch. They have went to Seleucia. That was the seaport. And from that seaport, they have sailed to the island of Cyprus. That is an island in the northeast of the Mediterranean Sea, approximately 140 miles from east to west, and 50 miles from south to north. It lie about 60 miles to the west of Syria, and 40 miles to the south of Asia Minor, which is Turkey today. And then we have heard it, then the first place where they have come, that was Salamis. And there they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to their minister. And then it is remarkable, the Lord is so free and sovereign. Many times in the life of the church, then at the beginning, the Lord grants special tokens of his help and of his favor, and that the church may be encouraged to continue to labor for the King. On the other hand, the Lord is free, that the church each time by renewal needs to learn that they are so dependent, and that it is not dependent upon our labors, because the prophet has declared in Zechariah 4, verse 10, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In many other places it is clearly recorded that there were souls that were converted, were given to believe. This not recorded in the scriptures does of course not mean that it was not so. And then Paul, Saul, and Barnabas, they have continued their journey. You can look at our boys and girls on that island. And then they have traveled undoubtedly on foot. It is not all recorded. But then they have traveled another 100 miles westward. And that is what our text concerns. And then in that island, then we read that in that island, when they had gone through the island unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. And of that man we hope to especially speak in our second point. But now, which was with the deputy of the country, that means boys and girls, that was a Roman governor, a man that has been appointed to govern over that city, perhaps the whole island. And the name of that man was Sergius Paulus, and he was a prudent man. It is a great privilege and a great blessing when the Lord grants in a country, in a city, a governor that is a prudent man, that is a man that has received much wisdom and many gifts, but that has also received foresight. And now it is also necessary, because I read in Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Have we now become prudent, congregation? Do we think only of the present? Or do we also think much of the future? Do we only live for the time? Or do we also seek to be prepared to meet our Maker when it becomes eternity? Because it says in Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. And when we see the signs of the times, then we see it as being fulfilled what Christ has spoken of concerning the latter times. And then a prudent man does also so for the timely things. When you have a boy or girl, or a man or woman, that only thinks of the today, satisfying our flesh, and does not think of the future, then such people are not very wise, and they come into much trouble. But now concerning our never-dying soul, and now on this island, oh, then it is fulfilled when God's people may be given to remember what the Lord has spoken, and that in unexpected and unfathomable ways, the Lord fulfills it, because already in Acts 9, then the Lord has related to Ananias that Saul was a chosen vessel to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that he would stand before kings. And now on this island in Paphos, that has taken place. And now we read something very special of the Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And that word desired in the Greek language, that is a very strong word that means to vehemently, earnestly desire to hear, to crave. And then he is called for Barnabas and Saul, not to hear whether they were good orators, and not to hear the man. Can also be in the church, that we desire to hear this minister or that minister. Oh, I have read in former days that there was a God-fearing minister, and that has received a special blessing from a visiting minister, and then later she traveled a long journey to hear that minister again, and then she was so disappointed, and she went to the minister. She says, what happened? Oh, the minister says, that is not so difficult. The first time you came to hear the word of God, and now you came to hear a man. Thus desired to hear the word of God. What an encouragement. It's clear from the scriptures that the word of God was already brought to Cyprus. We have mentioned with the persecution, then this island is also mentioned. And it is written in God's Word in Psalm 14, the verses 2 and 3, that the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that sought the Lord. And then in verse 3, it is recorded that there were none. None that understood. They have all gone astray. That is our picture by nature. And also for missionaries, they are called to bring the message which is not desired by the flesh and by the natural man, because it is a message that man is abased to the lowest, and we are such proud creatures, and that we can add nothing to our salvation, free and sovereign grace, and in that way the Lord shall be glorified to the highest. And what an encouragement it was for these apostles when they received the message, Barnabas and Saul. There is the governor. He has an earnest desire, and it is specifically mentioned to hear the word of God. What an encouragement that was for the apostles. And when we read it, then it seems to imply, and it is true, many of God's people do not know the exact moment of their conversion. Reverend Brackel states in his reasonable service that there are some people of God that put it too early and others too late. This is not the most important, but the most important is whether we have been born again by the Spirit of God, with those new desires, with those new longings, with a profound impression who the Lord is, and also deep impressions, deep uncovering of our sinnership, that we cannot stand before a holy and a righteous God. But when it takes place, then we have a desire to hear the word of God. And what does that people now desire? All the word of God. Many people that only like to hear the gospel. But when the Lord works, they need to hear the whole word of God. Also, what great sinners they are. Impossible to save themselves. And then such a sinner, there shall be times that they shall say, the half is not told of what all lives in my heart. They like to be dealt with honestly, but also the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is that now with us? And then we may also ask in this morning, the students, the young people that have graduated from high school, how has it now been in the years that we have been instructed out of God's holy word? Was there instruction that you have not forgotten and that you were earnestly desirous to hear the Bible stories and what was told out of God's holy word? Then it is a privilege when we may be prudent that we think not only of the presence. Think of Pilgrim's Progress. There were two children. The one was called Passion and the other was called Patient. But now this Sergius Paulus, he had a very bad and evil advisor. And that is our second thought. And when we think of our graduates, instructed out of God's word in the family circles, in church, and in school, but then there are also very many bad advisors that withstand the truth and try to turn us away from the old truth and the old ways. And now this Sergius Paulus, he was a very prudent man, a wise governor, a blessing for his country, but he did not have a good advisor. And we have heard it, that his name was Bar-Jesus, that in the original actually means the son of Jesus. But in reality, he was the son of Satan. And then Elymas, called the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. Does he practice sorcery? In the scripture, in different places, think in the time of Daniel, in the time of Esther, there were those wise men. And they also studied the stars and the planets to predict the future. And now this prudent deputy that had a desire to hear the word of God, he also had this bad advisor. Undoubtedly, he was an expensive advisory that he had to be paid well. And now the advice of this sorcerer that was so different from the preaching of Barnabas and Paul. Thus then, children, you can picture it. This Sergius Paulus, maybe he was sort of sick of the tricks and the deceit of his advisor. Many times, undoubtedly, did not come out, and that his deputy had many questions about his advisor, losing his respect, but he nevertheless, he still kept him. Thus, this Sergius Paulus, two voices. His advisor for many years, how many years we do not know. And now the word of God. And where Barnabas and Saul were given to preach. And what did they preach? Luke 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Oh, then they were given to preach the full counsel of God, how that the Lord has created everything perfectly, the deep fall of man, our utter inability and our unwillingness, that we have become slaves of Satan, and that we listen to those bad advisors, but how it has pleased the Father to give his dear Son, that he has come upon the earth, that he has taken the sins of his church. Oh, we read in Ephesians 3, verse 8, of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Oh, deputy, for the chiefest of sinners, for those in lowly stations, but also for kings and rulers. Then there is that precious blood. Ah, then Sergius Paulus, then he has listened so attentively. It is clear. And his advisor, and that is a blessing, when we may listen attentively. And that we may be given to think and meditate and pray about it. Oh, that this deputy that he was given to hear these words of these two messengers of the Most High, it is so different than the deceit of mine adviser. And then undoubtedly it was seen. That was for the gladness of the apostles, but also by Elymas, that it made profound impressions. Oh, maybe tears rolling down his cheeks. That Sergius Paulus was given to hear. This is now the truth. So different. And then Sergius Paulus maybe even trembled like Felix. But he did not do as Felix. How has it been with our graduates for the years of instruction? Were there times that there were impressions? And it's what solemn ways that the Lord has spoken this past school year. 3 students ushered into eternity. Know then, young people, the Lord has spoken so loudly that you could not put it aside. Were there perhaps those, of course, you have not told your parents or your teachers, as if Felix, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, then I will call for you. But maybe it was in your heart. It's even worse when it can be seen in our face. No interest. But, oh, that Sergius Paulus did not do. He was an attentive listener. But now Elymas, when he saw it, that it made a deep impression, he feared that he would lose his influence and maybe his job. And Elymas start to be a co-worker with the devil. And that is an awful thing, congregation, because we read, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Last week, we have heard out of Ephesians 4 verse 30 that solemn warning not to grieve the Spirit. We have also heard from the Scriptures vexing, quenching the Spirit. That is a terrible thing when we refuse to hearken to the Lord and to enter in and to harden our heart. Personally, family, congregational. But now in this morning, we hear of a more solemn matter. Christ has spoken to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 13, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that are entering to go in. And there are many Elymases in our time. And that can be in many different ways. Think of false and deceitful religions. A hastily laying on of hands, a little emotion, a little feeling, and a text. and it is well without ever becoming a lost sinner with the need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, think of King Ahab, 400 false prophets, Rehoboam, he listened to the young. King Zedekiah, oh, the prophet Jeremiah, where he has wept so bitterly, and where he was given to declare the approaching judgments of a righteous God. Then there were also many false prophets that have declared Jeremiah 28, a Hananiah, that it would not take place. Then the world promises much. Does not mean that the Lord does not give us many good things. But when it is all without the Lord, then we are so poor. And then, oh, it is clear in our text words that Elymas was doing the work of the devil, because the devil, with all the powers of hell, can be by force, can be as an angel of light, withstands the truth, withstands the way that the Lord holds with his people. And then he was seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And then you can understand, people, that it is an awful thing. It is an awful thing to grieve and quench the spirit. But it even goes deeper when we are an Elymas. And we live in a time when there are many bad advisors. Oh, the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 24. Then he has spoken that the word of God were his advisors. And now also concerning the technology, then what bad advice there is in the way of words, in the way of pictures, and in the way of music. And how is it now with us? Which advice do we hearken to? For the deputy, two different messages, and they were so different, and they were so contrary. Oh, the rich message of Saul and Barnabas concerning the riches of free and sovereign grace, the comfort for body and soul, for time and for eternity. And the deceitful message of Elymas withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Fathers and mothers, may I ask you, how is it in your life? Can understand what a terrible thing it is to be as an Elymas. Elymas, the sorcerer, that with our children, when there are questions, tell that we have no time. Impressions, when they ask important questions also concerning your life, that you try to smother them, one by example. We may begin the summer months. It is a beautiful time, summer. But may we never take our children to places where we never do not belong. Music, pictures, it can be multiplied out. That in our family circles, by our walk, by our example, because parents know that boys and girls, they are all eyes. No, not perfect fathers and mothers. But that they may see in the life of father and mother, and even in an outward way, as the deputy, that there is a desire for the things of the Lord, that they are prudent, not only living for the time, that money does not become our God. We need money, of course, cost a lot to live. But then we can all understand, fathers and mothers, maybe you have that little booklet of Reverend Ledebour. And that is the voice to young and old out of the pit of condemnation. And then according, or the same as in Luke 16, then Reverend Ledebour, as it were, then he is given to describe the voices out of hell for those that have went before. And then first there is an elderly one speaking out of that bottomless pit. Then next, he writes about a father. And as it were, what he is speaking to his dear wife and children. Then thirdly, a young man suddenly ushered out of eternity, out of the time into eternity. That he is speaking, begging his friends not to listen to those ill advisors, but to seek the Lord lest they also come in the same place. And then fourthly, a young girl that was suddenly taken out of life, and how she was given to speak to father and mother. Oh, father and mother. Why? Did you not warn me? Why did you not teach me? Why did you so despise what the ministers told us in church? I say it in my own words. If you have that book, Fathers and Mothers, then read it. Oh, then you can understand what a solemn thing it is when fathers and mothers, when they hinder their dear children from entering in. And we know the Lord shall bring us own in. Nevertheless, we are speaking about the responsibility of man. Can also be young people that were their continual questions and withstanding the instruction of their parents, that they also try to turn the thoughts of their parents that they may become a little lenient. Then by renewal graduates, how is it? Because I read in Romans 14, verse 7, that none of us liveth to ourselves. How is it now being in school? Because we are not neutral. then we can understand it is an awful thing to be an Elamus, to try to draw other students, our friends. They may question if they are true friends. But to tempt them to do wrong things. And also, after you have finished high school, then it is so important. We live not in an easy time, and there are so many Elamuses. But then it is so important for all of us, but in a special way for our youth, that you stand shoulder to shoulder. There are many nice things that we may do, much of God's creation that we may see, but that you stand shoulder to shoulder, then we can, I think we all can realize what a terrible thing it is to be an Elamus, to hinder, to withstand the work of the Holy Spirit, not to misunderstand it, because the calling and election of God are without repentance. Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it but the Lord uses means. Then we could also speak, time does not permit, but when the Lord now begins by His grace in our heart, then we have much to do with Elamus. Bad advisors, many questions. Then how troubled the child can become. God's house to receive a blessing. And home thoughts, questions. You are not a chosen one. Thus, you may think what you like, and you may do what you are required. But if you are not chosen, you shall not come there. Concerning Elamus, when he says, when he points to our sins, given into temptation, we are not what we ought to be. Have also resisted so many callings, heard so many sermons, thus it is clear that it is not for you, and other Elamus. Then he comes and says, not humble enough, not unworthy enough, the knowledge of your sin not deep enough, thus for you it is impossible. Sergius Paulus, the deputy, there he stood. An Elamus was standing him, a co-worker of the devil. But the Lord shall grant the victory, let us sing. Psalter 323, the four stanzas. Thy servant blessed by thee shall live and keep thy word with awe. Lord, open thou my eyes to see the wonders of thy law. 323, as many as are necessary for the collection. Paul and Barnabas preaching to Sergius Paulus, the desiring deputy, that was the deputy, and now thirdly, the believing deputy. And then congregation with all the false advisors that there are. And then the Lord has left in our midst His precious testimony. And then it is so needful to search and to pray over that testimony and ask the Lord that we may be kept to be an Elymas. All what can be multiplied out can even be between husband and wife, that the one is an hindrance. It can be in the way of mockery, that when others live closer to God's word than I do, that we call them a legalist or self-righteous. But now the Lord shall take it up for His cause. Always a fruit of the King that sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and the Lord who sees everything. And it is true. Many times the church is called upon to wait long. Many examples in the Bible. And now we read, then Saul was his Jewish name, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. And when we read that expression in the book of Acts, when the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, then the Lord was ready to do wonderful things. And then we read, and set his eyes on him. And then we do not read that Elymas has become ashamed, that he was given to confess that he was a false sorcerer, that he was a deceiver. Then we do not read that Elymas has said, apostles, for my master, for the deputy, that I can understand that there is grace. But for such a one as I am, that have even hindered others to enter in, that have laid stumbling blocks before their feet, things I have undone which I can never, did which I can never undo, is there now still mercy for such a one, but that we do not hear? And then from the words which they have spoken, which Paul has declared, then we see what a terrible thing it is to be an Elymas, to hinder others, to draw them away from the old truth and the old ways, because what profound language, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, not some, but all. And thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. What profound words. And then the question, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Oh, I repeat it, especially fathers and mothers. May you not be an Elymas, but may you be an example, that it may arouse your children to a holy jealousy to walk according to this word, and above all to be converted, as the Lord doth convert all his people. And then judgment. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Not a gracious hand, not a merciful hand, not a guiding hand, but a punishing hand, an almighty hand. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. What a terrible judgment it is to be smitten with blindness. We have mentioned it in Bible times. Many of those sorcerers, they also studied the stars and the planets to predict the future. Today we call them horoscopes. Must never, of course, read them. Because, of course, it is all deceit. And now, that deputy was smitten with blindness, that he could no longer look at the stars and the planets to predict the future. A great punishment. May I ask you, congregation, in the midst of the congregation, if those in this past week, those that have looked at things, let us only mention porn. Those that have looked at porn this past week and do not think that it is not amongst us. There are fathers, when you visit them, that they open up and tell what has happened in their youth. If now those that have viewed porn in this past week, then how many would have to be led out of church being blind? I lay the question before each and everyone. And concerning blindness, oh, the great judgment of the hardening of the heart was only for a season. It is not recorded in the scriptures that Elymas has repented, turned unto the Lord, and sought for pardon. Because, Paul and Barnabas have preached the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, precious invitations. And now the fruit, then the deputy, we do not read that he has spoken one word. I read of King Hezekiah with that mocking repartee of the Assyrians, that he has commanded the people to keep silence. The Lord has taken it up for him. And the preaching of the apostles was blessed. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. We have already heard that he desired and that he listened with a holy attention. And now when we read he believed, then he was given to believe the precious gospel of Jesus Christ for the full and the free remission of all his sins. Oh, blessed deputy. A prudent man, an evil advisor, but the word of God was powerful, was blessed, given to believe that it was possible that the Lord Jesus Christ has also come for him for the complete remission of all his sins. And that is confirmed. It is true, he saw what was done. But after that word believed, being astonished, does not say it is as his advisor that he was blind, had to be led about, but he was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And that is the Lord of free and sovereign grace congregation. It is surely a solemn thing we have heard at the past week. To grieve, to vex, to quench the spirit. But what a solemn matter we have in our text words. Anilimus. Ah, may there be much prayer that we as a congregation stand shoulder to shoulder concerning the old truths and the old ways, and the opposite of being an Elymas ought to be a little instrument in the Lord's hand for the temporal and eternal welfare of our fellow man. Oh, our old fathers have said few single conversions. Oh, let us close with the admonishment of Christ. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of solemn and profound matters, that there was a man that has attempted to withstand the preaching and the work of the Lord. And then what a profound pronouncement and his punishment. But the deputy was given to believe, Ah, Lord, wilt thou remember us and our children? May thy holy word be our counsel. May we by thy grace need him of whom it is recorded that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And may it be our continual prayer that we may be a hand and a foot for one another. And also in the summer months, that we are kept from sin and temptation as separate people, that thou art not grieved. Lord, wilt thou watch over us on the Sabbath day? Help fathers and mothers with their children to speak of these things. Wilt thou return us in this evening hour a prayer for one another? Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 254, the stanzas 4 and 5. Take heed and harden not your heart, as did your fathers, nor depart from God to follow in their ways, for with complaints instead of praise. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Harvey Edward van de Breinhast and Daniel Kierlin Klaassen. The wedding service is scheduled for Thursday, July 3 at 11 a.m. in the RCNA of Monarch with Reverend van de Tang officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. The first wedding announcement of Willard Evers and Mary and Janine Fisher. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. There will be a midweek service on Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. and baptism registration is scheduled for Saturday evening at 7 p.m. Psalter 254, 4 and 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.